today.
Standard of Paranormal Radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This episode of the Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. That's audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. And now, on with the show. Our co-host this week is Christopher O'Brien. Coming up later on the show, we'll have Leslie Kane with a fascinating new book. It's been a while since she's been here. The last time she was on the Paracast, she did say she was writing a book. And it's not just a book that she wrote. It's one that she wrote with a number of co-authors and or contributors, including an introduction by John Podesta, who's very big muckety-muck in the Clinton administrations and the Obama administration, so we look forward to what's going to happen there. But when you think of a book that contains reports, official reports, or documents about UFOs, my mind goes back in time to the 1950s. When I first read a UFO book, I was very, very young in the 1950s. Understand this, I'm not as old as I look, or as I feel. But I did, read a book called Flying Saucers from Outer Space by Major Donald Kehoe, replete with reports from military people, police officers, scientists, supposedly trained observers seeing something strange in the sky, displaying all sorts of incredible maneuverability. And Kehoe believed then, and I think believed till possibly the end of his life, that there would be disclosure, that we would have ultimately have the government tell us, yeah, E.T. is here, and we're going to have to deal with it. Now, Chris, when you first got involved in studying the paranormal, did you think there would be some kind of imminent disclosure, some kind of vindication?
Well, I think I'm kind of when I started out, I was of two minds. I think I emotionally was attached to that outcome. But I think very, very quickly I realized that that it was a pipe dream. And as the years have gone by now, I've been involved fairly actively in this field for 20 years now. Every year that goes by, I get less and less doubtful that disclosure, even if they wanted to disclose what they know about UFOs in terms of a government, an official government disclosure, that it's absolutely it's inconceivable to me that something like that will ever happen. First of all, I don't feel, based on my research, that the government fully knows enough to really disclose something. And number two, even if they did, they've been lying for 60 years. How could we believe them?
That's the other point, too. We are taught nowadays not to believe the government. The government is lying. We learned that on 24/7 cable TV. So if the liberals are in charge, the conservatives say they're lying. If the conservatives are in charge, the liberals say they're lying. Or everybody's lying. So
yeah.
If the government says there are no UFOs, we shouldn't believe them. If they say there are, we shouldn't believe them because we don't believe government. Why the disconnect?
Well, that's the $64 million question at this point in time. I think one of the things that they've done very effectively is, number one, compartmentalize the information. And number two, I think a lot of the real sensitive, high technology information is in the hands of the private sector. And you can't do an FOIA request, as we'll find out. Leslie is a master at the Freedom of Information Act request. You can't do an FOIA to a private corporation.
So is that part of the scam here, that you send stuff out to private industry? I mean, that even goes back to Philip Corso in that controversial book, The Day After Roswell, that he wrote with Bill Burns. He said then that they were funneling alien technology into private industry, so therefore it disappears. It becomes proprietary to a company's technology.
Exactly. So I think that's a major stumbling block for any sort of disclosure process. I think where our best chance for this, you know, a disclosure of information comes from the public sector, and I think that we need to do more well-funded hard data monitoring, research, and investigation of these events to for the public to be able to determine for itself, what these objects are, number one, and potentially at some point where they are emanating from. Going through Leslie's book, I see the extraterrestrial hypothesis is a foregone conclusion throughout the whole book, and I'm going to talk with her about that. I don't see any suggestion of any official thinking out of the box in terms of what these objects are and who could be piloting them.
It gets to be kind of complicated here, and I'm definitely going to want to talk to her further also about what she thinks about this. And this is not going to be an ambush, ladies and gentlemen. We don't do ambushes. We're here to get information. Yeah, sometimes we get some pretty crazy people, and they will be treated appropriately. But this takes us back to some of the, as they say, the wrong impressions about the PowerCast over the years. We've done close to 250 episodes over 4.5 years. And about a dozen episodes, we've had people on the show who we had to kind of jump on because they were being deceptive, they were being out-and-out crazies, and we did appropriate things in our responses. 95% of the time, we're very respectful to everybody, but those 12 episodes gave us sort of a reputation. You know, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter that you're good 99.5% of the time, but if you are a little bit, you know, a little bit obnoxious 0.5% of the time, you live it down forever.
I was going to say, what do you mean us, Kimo Sabe?
That's true, actually. We can go into that, too. It was me and somebody else. But then, you know, you'll get your turn.
I'm sure I will.
You've only been with us a few months. Wait till you've been here a while and we get a few crazy people. You'll see how to treat it. But, you know, that takes us, of course, back to the problem with disclosure. I'm in favor of disclosure about UFOs if the government knows something. Sure, we want to know what's happening. I understand there could be an impact to society. But I worry about some of these people who are involved in exopolitics, and they not only expect disclosure, they want us to know what will be disclosed, at least according to what they believe.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, going into any sort of scenario like this with preconceptions is a minefield. And I think, again, that the real answers aren't being held, I think, by government. I think we're dealing with the military-industrial complex, I think, is the holder of the most closely guarded secrets. And, again, this is another good question to ask Leslie.
Yeah, and definitely the military-industrial complex. Remember, President Eisenhower warned us about them. He gave out that warning when he was leaving his second term. And remember, he was part of the military, a general. So certainly he knew what was going on. He knew the dangers. He foretold something. And when we get into more politically oriented discussions, maybe we'll consider that as it relates to our fields of study.
Well, it's going to be a very, very interesting show today. I'm really enjoying Leslie's book. This is one of the best books I've ever read on the UFO subject. And I can see why. It's one of the few UFO books in recent years. It's actually a hardcover. So I think this is going to be fun. She did a very good job. She's a top-notch investigative researcher. And there's some pretty impressive co-authors to this work.
Well, that's one of the things that we're going to be covering. The name of the book, by the way, neighbors, is UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. It's a very long title, so we'll just call it UFOs. The author is Leslie Kane. She's an investigative reporter and also co-founder of the Coalition of Freedom of Information. So she's done a lot to try to get the information that the government might be withholding from us. Our co-host this week is Chris O'Brien. I just want to remind you that you can interact with us this way. Go to forum.thepowercast.com, forum.thepowercast.com, and join up with our message boards where you can post your comments about shows and, as a matter of fact, almost anything in particular. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
As you know, the PowerCast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. With more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers, for listeners of the PowerCast, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One book to consider, for example, is Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up by Timothy Good. Timothy Good, as you know, has been a guest on the PowerCast. Yet another book worth considering from Audible.com is Lies and Deception, UFOs and the Secret Agenda, from Timothy Good once again, and also from our old friend Nick Pope. As you know, Nick Pope has also been on the PowerCast. This is another book that you're definitely going to want to check out. For this book or another free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/powercast. That's audiblepodcast.com/powercast.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us up the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to prevent your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They've both maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them both until now, your cash would actually have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call me, John Ballman, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast, but you never know what's going to happen next.
Leslie Kane returns to the Paracast. She's author of a new book called UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. And it's not just her. She has loads of contributors to the book. Now, when we last talked to you, Leslie, you were starting to work on the book. And I see that except for a certain portions of the book that you wrote, you added these contributors, which makes your book very different from any of the others that have been written about UFOs over the years. How did you pick these specific people to be participants?
Well, you know, it depends on, I mean, first of all, I had the criteria of trying to get the highest level officials I could get. Some of it depended on the accessibility of the person, if I knew them or not. You know, in terms of how I selected people to include in the book, I mean, I definitely wanted to get people that, you know, were, had highest level credentials possible. If they were in the military, of course, I wanted to get a general whenever I could. And that was factored in along with the kind of work that I knew that they had done, whether I had a relationship with them or not, so that they would be willing to work with me. You know, how accessible they were, whether they spoke English. Well, a number of the writers didn't speak English, but there were a lot of factors that went into play. But I certainly was, you know, wanted to get the most credible people, and I wanted to have a combination of both people who were investigators for governments, official investigators, and people who were actual witnesses, aviation witnesses. So I wanted to also have witnesses with very exciting stories that would be capable of telling them the stories in an articulate and clear way, and stories and also cases that were well documented. So there are a lot of factors that went into making the selections. But most of the people that I wanted to get were able to do it, so it worked out.
You didn't get too many no answers for this then?
No, I mean, there was one general in Russia that I didn't know him, and I was working with another contact, and he kept saying he wanted to participate, but he would never send anything. And he kept saying, okay, you'll have it in 2 weeks, and then nothing would come. And then actually I just had to give up on him. But I think, I think you're right. That was the only one that I was sort of holding out for that didn't work out.
Well, that's funny, too, because I used to deal with contributors of that nature where they'd promise me that they were going to do stuff for a book. And as a matter of fact, one time, and this is just a quick aside here, I literally had to write 10 extra chapters for a computer book because the guy I recommended never produced anything. He always gave me excuses. But sometimes, you know, people, you know, it's writer's block. People have difficulty. Your introduction, though.
Well, I didn't have any of that, though. These people, everyone I worked with the book was fantastic, and they worked really hard on their pieces.
And that makes your book very different from the others, where it's just somebody telling somebody's story. Here you have their stories. Now, your introduction comes from John Podesta, who, as we know, was prominent in the Clinton administration and also very close with President Obama. Now, how did he get involved with your work?
Well, John Podesta has been supporting this the Freedom of Information Act initiative that I launched back in 2002, I think it was 2003, with the support of the Sci-Fi Channel. And this was the Kexburg Initiative, which I'm sure your listeners are probably familiar with that, where it was a major Freedom of Information Act effort to obtain documents on the Kexburg case. And we had a team of professional people, and our collective effort were able to bring John Podesta into that as a supporter because he's a strong believer in people's right to information, and he's also interested in UFOs. So I got to know him over the years working on that, and then, you know, we were successful with the lawsuit, and he was very interested in how the whole thing progressed. And so he kind of got familiar with my work over all those years, and that was why I felt comfortable approaching him, you know, to write this foreword, which I'm extremely pleased that he agreed to do.
Now, has he been able to influence the people in high places he knows to look into this situation more seriously?
You know, I don't really know. I quite honestly doubt that he's spent a lot of time trying to do that because he's so incredibly busy. I mean, he actually, you know, writes policy for the Obama administration. He's a major player now. And I'm hoping that once the book comes out, and we sort of have a tool that might be able to be used by him and others to do that. But, of course, I can't say what he might have done privately. But it certainly hasn't been any kind of major mission that he's been on. The real interest, you know, the reason he got involved just as much about Freedom of Information Act issues as it was the UFO subject.
Now, one of the things that came to light, don't know if you read the story, but some more documents come from the Ministry of Defense in the UK. And one, in fact, this came off Fox News, which is an unusual source for UFO information. Churchill ordered UFO cover-up, documents suggest. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I mean, I read the stories on the Internet that I'm sure you and everyone else has read very quickly, actually. But, yeah.
So is this really a significant development? I'm hearing this on the cable news stations are now presenting this as a very, very serious story. So that kind of shows us that all the people who are writing about UFOs so seriously in the 50s, especially Major Donald Kehoe and Edward Ruppelt,
you know, they hire right on.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had paid more attention to it, but wasn't it just a relative of somebody who says that his relative made this claim, but they don't really have actual documentation of it about Churchill? Is that true? I'm sorry, I should have read the thing more carefully.
You know what, we have to look at the story, and according to the documents, yeah. Details of the cover-up emerged when the man wrote to the government in 1999 seeking to find out more about the incident. He described how his grandfather, who had served with the Royal Air Force, RAF, in the war, was present when Churchill and U.S. General Dwight Eisenhower discussed how to deal with the UFO encounter. So it comes from somebody's grandson.
Yeah, and, you know, so it's an interesting story, but I think without a little more documentation than that, it's not going to go very far. And quite honestly, I mean, I don't think, as I've written about in the book, I don't think that releasing more documents endlessly, you know, year after year after year, I think it's a great thing that all the governments release their documents, but I don't think it's going to really solve the mystery and solve the problem that we have in our hands to just get more information. I'm sure that the really important documents, the really sensitive, you know, national security documents are not being released. So I don't put a lot of stock in just more documents coming out as really getting us anywhere, quite honestly.
Leslie, do you see in the documents that you do succeed in retrieving through Freedom of Information Act or the ones made public overseas, do they show a lot of stuff being redacted, blacked out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think these MOD documents are that bad. The ones that I've looked at, but again, I haven't really looked at a lot of them, but I mean, generally they redact anything that's materials and methods that would endanger the, you know, that would mention the name of somebody, that kind of thing. They redact the name of the agent or the witness or sensitive information about how their equipment works and stuff. I've looked at some of these MOD things, but I don't recall seeing that being a major problem, but I might be wrong on that. It's not something I've spent a lot of time doing. I've read articles about the documents, and I'm in constant communication with Nick Pope, and so I sort of get the gist of what the most important ones are when they come out. But I don't spend a lot of time calling and looking at them, you know, for hours.
Once again, we want you to interact. Tell us what you think about this show and other topics related to the paranormal. Visit our forums, forum.theparacast.com, forum.theparacast.com. It costs you nothing to sign up and participate. We have Leslie Kane. She's author of UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. Our co-host, Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Okay, neighbors, here's the problem. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle, and it's often a complete waste of money. Well, here's a solution for you. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your own desk. Avoid the hassle of traveling and still exceed your sales goals. Plus, GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit gotomeeting.com/podcast. Once again, GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit gotomeeting.com/podcast.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for heart and body extract.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
Question: what would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have Leslie Kane. She's author of a book called UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. I'll just keep calling it UFOs because
That's
it's such
fine.
A long
yeah.
title. Fine, no problem. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast, and Chris is going to pick up on the questioning.
Leslie, one of the things that really impresses me about how you approach the book is the quality of the contributors to the book and your exhaustive effort to go as high as you possibly could. Could you describe a little bit more detail how you were able to convince some of these military guys, for instance, in South America and in England and other countries outside the U.S., how were you able to convince them to come forward and to contribute such insightful information that's in the book?
Yeah, well, of course, it's different in every case. But if you wanted to focus on the South American individuals, for instance, the two from Chile that are in the book, General Bermudez, who's actually the head of the government agency in Chile that investigates UFOs. Every person that worked with me on this book is a different story for each person. But, the people, for instance, in South America, General Bermudez, who heads up the government agency there investigating UFOs, the SEFAA, and Captain Bravo, also from Chile, Captain Bravo was somebody who I knew because he attended our 2007 press conference in Washington, D.C. that James Fox and I put together. And he was very happy to do it. And General Bermudez, I had corresponded with him over the years during my time as a journalist. I've been covering the subject for 10 years. So I think, most of the people in this book I'd had some kind of relationship with, and they respect the work that I do. They understand that I'm approaching this, as a journalist, and they like the way I approach it, and they know that I'm credible and trustworthy, I guess. And so it really, it wasn't that difficult. One of the ones I didn't know was General Pereira from Brazil. General Pereira from Brazil is one of the few contributors who I actually haven't met or hadn't corresponded with, actually. I had no relationship with him before this book. And he took quite a lot of work because I had to go through other contacts that knew him. He doesn't speak any English, so, you know, I had a number of translators that worked with me in the communication. So actually all the emails had to be translated back and forth. We had to make phone calls. And I explained to him my work, and I guess, you know, he had enough respect for what I do that he was willing to do it. And it just took a great deal of communication to interest these people, the ones that I didn't know. But as I said, most of them I've had some kind of communications with over the years, but many of them I've actually met. So it wasn't that difficult to get them to agree to do this.
Now, one thing that I've noticed in the book is the reliance on pilot testimony and going into some of the more interesting and, I think, telling encounters that pilots, whether in the military or in, you know, civil aviation, have had with these objects. Now, what was your thinking going in on that? According to the book here, you say the pilots probably are our best, you know, classification of witness because, I mean, their life and the lives of their passengers obviously, you know, depend on their ability to determine what it is that's around them in their airspace. So why don't you give us your thinking on what led you to that decision and what your conclusions were, talking to quite a number of pilots that have had amazing encounters.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, you're right that one of the reasons to approach pilots is because they're so highly trained to recognize things in the sky. And the other important point as to why they're important is because of the issue of aviation safety, which is a theme throughout the book. I have a piece by Richard Haynes in here, who's an expert on that, and I know you've had him on the show before. And, you know, the aviation safety factor is a really important factor. These UFOs actually affect aircraft and can affect safety of aircraft. So for those two reasons, I thought that the pilots were important, and I have cases in here, and again, they're written by the actual person, which makes them so fascinating, because you're hearing the person tell what happened to them in their own words, and I tried to get them to express their emotions and their reactions and all these kinds of things that you would never normally hear from somebody. And the stories are exciting, and they're important because of the credibility of the pilots. And in two cases, the pilots describe, these are both Air Force pilots, actually attempting to shoot down UFOs. And the book explores the whole question of national security and when is it appropriate to fire and not fire, and what should we do to prepare people. But they do have an incredible amount of credibility, the pilots. And I don't know what else I can say. Both Air Force pilots and civil aviation pilots are represented here. One of them is also Captain Bowyer from the UK, Captain Ray Bowyer. His case only occurred a couple of years ago in 2007, which makes it really interesting as well because it's so recent. And the cases also have a lot of data to back them up, which are presented by the writers, as well as their own personal reactions and accounts. So it's an important part of the book.
Another aspect of the pilot sightings that I found fascinating was the official airline and, in some sense, military response to the events themselves. There doesn't seem to be a willingness by some agencies to pursue the ramifications of some of these sightings and cases, to pursue them further than just kind of ignoring them in some sense of the word, hoping that it doesn't happen again or that they'll go away. It seems to me it's only when the press really gets involved that these agencies are forced to really officially respond, and generally it's a non-response. So what are your feelings now looking at some of the more celebrated aviation cases? What are your feelings about the actual official response to these cases by government and the military?
Well, that's a really, really good point, and it's one of the reasons I even wrote this book, was to make the point that in the United States, anyway, the official response has been just about nothing, as you pointed out, and to contrast that with other countries. In other countries, the official aviation agencies do get involved, and they do investigate, and information is released. But in the United States, as you just mentioned, in 1986 with the Alaska case that I think a lot of people are familiar with, the JAL, Japan Airline case over Alaska, the only reason the FAA investigated that case was because they were pressured by public demand, by public interest in the case, to do something. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have. You know, that played a big role. And then when you move forward to the Chicago O'Hare case, though, even though there was public interest in that case, the FAA did nothing. The U.S. government did nothing. And you're right. It's essentially ignoring and just pretending that nothing's happening and sort of letting the media play with, you know, the media will play with it for a couple of days and then it goes away. And the witnesses are left with nothing. They're left with no support, no explanations. They're often really nervous about, you know, if their jobs being affected. They don't dare talk about it. And it's a very bizarre situation, and it needs to change. And one of the reasons I wrote this book was to propose some ideas for how we might be able to change this problem and to look into some of the reasons as to why this problem exists in the first place and to show how different it is here from other countries.
Yeah, one of the things I was bringing up before we brought you on the show is going back to the 1950s, we had movements to try to get the U.S. government to bring out more information about UFOs, and one of the key examples of that, of course, was the late Major Donald Kehoe. In fact, one of the big missions of the organization, he ultimately took over NICAP, and had been started by someone else named T. Townsend Brown, was to cause disclosure. He felt you have congressional hearings, and understand, I think, that Major Donald Kehoe had what we would consider today to be rather a naive viewpoint of Congress and their supposed honesty and freedom from political considerations. You will therefore have disclosure because the military will be forced to admit what's going on if Congress says do it. Of course, we then in the 1960s had the Condon Report, and of course that didn't help. I'm going to ask you your response to that as soon as we return. We have Leslie Kane. She's author of a book called UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. And what that means is she isn't quoting them necessarily. They're writing their own piece. They're writing their own segments for the book, and we're going to go into that in more detail in our next section. My co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Fate magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild, edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight, that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness, and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
Hi, this is Bud Hopkins, and you're listening to the Paracast, and I completely, enthusiastically endorse this program. It's an absolutely great program with an opportunity to stretch out and talk.
We have Leslie Kane joining us this week on the Paracast. She's author of a book, which I'll call briefly UFOs, with a very long subtitle. A lot of very important people going on the record about this. So we go back to the effort from a person like Major Donald Kehoe to get this information revealed. Why do you think it didn't succeed? Was it because the Condon Report was the best we can do in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah, I mean, of course, he certainly did succeed in some ways. I mean, a lot of information was presented by NICAP, and a lot of case research that was excellent was presented. But you're talking about why we didn't get some major change in terms of the government approach, right? And basically, you know, but as you pointed out, when the Condon report came along and the Air Force closed down its investigation and the Condon Committee said, you know, there was no need to study UFOs, there was no scientific merit in studying them, it did really put a kibosh on any sort of, you know, possibility of the government taking a different position. It was a really drastic development for the government and for scientists who might have possibly been interested. I mean, it set everybody back. And there was certainly a lot going on before that happened. And as you mentioned, congressional hearings, you know, all kinds of serious media coverage, lots of very high-level people involved with the issue. But then the door was shut, and it's been pretty much shut for decades, and I want that door to be reopened, and that's what I'm hoping to accomplish here.
What have you done so far, and our listeners may not know all your background about this, but what got you interested in trying to get some kind of revelation or disclosure going? What got you into this field?
Well, as I was actually, I'm a journalist by profession, and I was working at a public radio station back in 1999 in California as a co-host and co-producer of a daily show, and I'd done a lot of freelance publishing on many different topics as an investigative reporter, and I received a copy from a colleague in France of the Cometa Report, which was this high-level study that was done in France over a three-year period by retired generals and admirals and head of the science agency there, and lots of very, very prestigious people, primarily in the military, but also scientists. It was a group study, and that study was really what set me on this course as a journalist. And the bottom line in that, about that study, was that the writers stated that they felt, after studying the best official cases on record and really looking into this, only official cases, by the way, they came to the conclusion that the extraterrestrial hypothesis, as they called it, was the best explanation for these phenomena. It hadn't been proven, but they couldn't see, they presented that as the best explanation. And as a journalist, I really recognized at the time, my God, this is a major news story that the people of this stature and caliber are making a statement like that. And that sort of, you know, I wrote my first story about that report, and I haven't been able to stop ever since. That's how
you
I got started.
Sucked in like the rest of us.
Yeah, although I really think, you know, I never really identified myself as being part of the UFO community per se. It was really very much as a journalist. But yeah, once you get hooked, it's very hard to back away from it. I mean, you really see that there's something to this. And, you know, you want to get to the bottom of it, and you're mystified by the way it's treated in, by the media and by the culture and the way it's ridiculed and all the things that go along with it. It's a hard thing to put down. I know for so many people that's the case. So
well, you brought up the extraterrestrial hypothesis, and I want to cut in here. Pardon me for a second. One of the things that comes through very, very loud and clear in the book is that the ETH, or the extraterrestrial hypothesis, is almost a foregone conclusion in the minds of many of the people contributing to the book. Nowhere do I see any sort of alternate explanation put forward as a potential avenue of research and investigation. Is this consistent throughout your work now, that that everyone thinks that we're dealing with something that is truly an off-planet extraterrestrial presence, and has anybody in your research come up with any sort of alternative theories? I, for instance, I see Jacques Vallée's name is only mentioned once in the book in relation to the Grenada president getting the UN to do the little get-together back in the, I think it was the 80s. What can you add to that in terms of alternative theories that may be out there?
Well, that's an interesting point. And again, you know, I was really focused on including people that were government officials. That's why, you know, somebody like Jacques Vallée, who's brilliant and fascinating and everything, didn't really, you know, it wasn't really a book of scientists. Maybe that'll be the next book. But, and I think of him as more of a scientist, really, and a thinker about this. But, you're right. I mean, I think that when the bottom line is that most of the people who wrote for this book really are agnostic. They really feel that they don't know what this phenomenon is. You know, they've all experienced it at various levels of closeness, whether they're investigators or witnesses. And like all of us, when you go through the process of elimination, you're not left with a lot of alternative explanations. So I think, you know, some of them may have thought a lot more than others about what they think it might be. I think a lot of them are just waiting for it to be figured out what they are. And when they're pressed on the question, they will say, well, the extraterrestrial hypothesis is certainly a valid hypothesis. You know, that could be it. But we don't really know yet. So to the extent that they may have explored other options within their own minds, you know, privately, I really don't know, to say the truth.
Yeah, can you say, Leslie, then that the purpose of the book is not so much to find out what the actual source is, but to suggest a very popular possibility, but mostly to explain that there's a real phenomenon going on here?
Exactly right, Gene. I mean, the purpose of the book is to present the facts and the data that we have through the most credible sources to make the point that there is a very real phenomenon, like you just said. It's physical. It has certain characteristics that repeat themselves in various cases. You know, it can be picked up on radar. We've got photographs. It is absolutely real. And people at high levels around the world acknowledge that. And so what the purpose of the book is to make that point, and then number two, to propose a way that we might actually find out what they are. But the book is not claiming that we know what they are. You know, the theme is that, and this is what, you know, what I learned from talking to all these high-level people, we don't know what they are, but we really need to find out for a lot of reasons. So the book is a call to action. It's a call for the scientific community to become unified around the world and make a conscious decision and become proactive on finding out what the UFOs are. And we need to have the U.S. government involved in that process, and so we deal with that in the book. But that's really the purpose. It's not about, you know, whether they're extraterrestrial or whether they might be this or that, or let's think about it because it's a fascinating topic. It's really about the hardcore facts and what we need to do to find out more.
Okay, a call to investigate, not a call to conclude.
Right, because we don't yet know enough to conclude. We don't have the definitive proof that we need to convince the scientists and the governments of the world that we know what these things are without a doubt. They are not about to accept that we know what these things are. Even for those of us who may have looked at this for a long time and have come to our own conclusions, and we might think certain things are obvious, but if you're trying to reach the status quo, they do not accept that. First of all, it's hard for them to even accept these things exist, which this book is going to make it impossible for them to say they don't exist. But they are certainly not going to be ready to have anybody tell them what these things are. I mean, they will not accept that at this stage of the game. And so it's really not something that's a useful thing to do, is to go around and tell officials that they're extraterrestrials visiting us. They're not ready to accept that. We have to take it one step at a time. And we're making the step here that I believe is going to open the door, get us to the point where we can make the kind of discovery that will then show everybody what we've got here.
So if what we've got here isn't E.T. or something even weirder, assuming E.T. is weird, and I guess it's not in this day and age, why should it be? You would have no problem with that.
Right. I mean, you know, it seems like we all think, oh, yeah, the E.T. hypothesis is the most reasonable one. That's what the Cometa group said. They think it's the most. They looked at other possibilities in their report, and maybe it will be something entirely different, or maybe it's a lot of different things, you know. I just think we have to keep an open mind, and we have to invest more resources and brilliant minds of scientists around the world to find out. But yeah, who knows what it's going to turn out to be? I mean, we all think it's probably extraterrestrial. It's hard to imagine what it might be. But you're right, maybe it's not.
The reason I mentioned that, of course, is because near the end of his life, and I had an interview with Dr. J. Allen Hynek maybe 3-4 years before he died, it looked like he was moving into what some of us call like a 4D or a multidimensional kind of aspect, but we won't get into that here. We have Leslie Kane, author of a new book about UFOs, which is co-authored by a number of very prominent people, generals, pilots, government officials. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.